Hi, this is Ron Jacobs for Workflow TV. Today, I'm going to share with you three simple rules for better debugging with Workflow application. Now, I've written about it on my blog, and I got some sample code, so we're going to go over the sample code with you and just give you an idea what's going on here. So, as you tour through the sample code, if you view the task list and change it to comments, you'll see a bunch of little to-dos here in order so you can kind of follow along if you want. Now, before we do that, let's just look at this workflow. I've got a very simple workflow here with a sequence. It's just going to create a bookmark, okay? So I have a custom activity here that creates a bookmark. The name of the bookmark here is B1. And then we're going to write some more and wait for another bookmark, B2, and then we'll write some more that we're complete, all right? Now, whenever I use bookmarks and workflow application, I have just tremendously complicated life because I have a multi-threaded application. I have a main UI thread that's running, in this case a console app, and I have my workflow which is running on a thread from the thread pool. And I've got to have some kind of synchronization between the two so my console app doesn't finish before the workflow application does, right? And I have this little protocol that goes on between the workflow and the host code. So the workflow sets a bookmark named B1, and it's going to remain idle until the host resumes that bookmark B1, right? So you get this whole thing that can be pretty fragile between the bookmark names and resumptions and the timeouts that can occur. And sometimes you get kind of tricky situations going on. So let's take a look at this code here. And the first thing is, you notice that I have a bookmark name here, a constant. I have made the name of this bad, okay, which is going to break our program. But that's the point. We want to see how we debug this. So let's pretend we don't know that, all right? And let's just run this in the debugger. And we'll see that our application starts up, and the workflow created the bookmark B1, and the host resumed bookmark B1, and now it's waiting for an idle with a bookmark named bad. All right. So then the workflow said, okay, I'm creating bookmark B2, and now the workflow is waiting for B2, but the host is waiting for bad. And so now we've got a situation, well, our app is stuck. It's hung. All right, so what do you do when you got a hung application like this? Well, the first thing I would do is break in the debugger. All right, and let's make some room with these windows so we can see what's going on. And we see it shows right away, oh, we're waiting for this idle event, and we have wait one here. Okay, so that's where the UI thread is stuck. So if I go, well, where does this idle event get set? All right, so if we look up a little bit, we see there's the idle event again. That's the first bookmark. And here we go. Here's a handler for the workflow application idle. And in here, we're doing a little test. So our hosting code says, if there's any bookmarks that has the name that is we've set into this variable wait for bookmark name, then we're going to set the event. So you can see we're waiting for bad. The host is waiting for bad. The workflow, on the other hand, set a bookmark named B2. Now we know what's going on, and so the next thing is, well, where does this wait for bookmark name get set? So we go down here, we see here's one place where it got set with bookmark 1, and then we see here's where it got set with bookmark 2. So this constant here, bookmark 2, is the value bad, which is why we got our bug. All right, end of story, right? We know what the bug is. Okay, but there's a lot more to this sample, so let's stop this here and consider what I said in the blog post. All right, so the next thing I said in the blog post is use tracking. Tracking is completely awesome. Tracking tells you what's going on. It gives you a lot of insight into what the workflow is doing. With a debugger, it's easier to see what the host code is doing, but it's harder to see what the workflow is doing. So let's go and look at the tracking. All right, so let's go back to our task list. And so the first thing I have here is a sample tracker. All right, so what I did here is I just made a little tracking participant that output tracking just using trace.writeline. Okay, and it's no big deal, it's very simple, so we're going to do that. So let's run with the sample tracking on. And we'll see what happens here. All right, so we run until we're stuck. All right, now if we take a look at the output window, we can see what happened in the workflow. Now you get some other junk, you know, kind of mixed in with this, but here's the last tracking record that we got, right? And it's a workflow instance record. So that tells me about events that happened in the life cycle of the workflow. And we see that the last thing that happened was it was idle. All right, so, okay. Now, right before that, we got an activity state record, and we can see that its state is executing. So this is the last activity that was executing when the workflow went idle. Okay, and it's still in the executing state because it set the bookmark. So executing doesn't mean I'm running right now, it just means I'm not done yet. All right. Now, how do we know in terms of the workflow which activity it was? Well, we can see the display name here. Now, that's okay. I mean, display names, there's no guarantee that they're going to be unique or have any relation at all to what you know, but I try to follow just by way of convention, giving my display names some kind of value that's going to make it easier for me to figure out when I'm looking at tracking, you know, what it was. Okay, so I just adopted that convention. But if I didn't, this would have just said wait for bookmark of int 32, and that would have been it, right? So now let's go back over here to, now the other thing I can do is I can see it has an activity ID, which that's helpful. But if I go back to the workflow here and I say, what's the activity ID of these guys? I have no idea. The activity ID is assigned when the workflow cache metadata process is running. So that, you know, it's not super helpful there. All right, but I can see the type name is wait for bookmark of int 32 and so forth, right? So anyway, I got a pretty good idea what's going on in the workflow. All right, so that was, that's okay. As far as tracking goes, that's okay, but let's do something which I think is very helpful, and that is to use Microsoft Activities extensions. All right. So in this sample, I wrote everything twice. I wrote it with extensions and without extensions. So I'm going to change this to true. All right. And now let's take a look at where we're going to run it with Microsoft Activities extensions. And you'll see one of the first things we can do is use this class called a trace tracking participant, which, like the sample tracker, writes things to the trace, system diagnostics trace, but it does it in a way that is much easier to read. All right, so before we run this, let's take a look at a couple of other things. Now, you remember in the other code, when I wanted to run a workflow until it became idle with a certain bookmark name, I had to declare a variable. I called it wait for bookmark name. I had to set up an idle handler. In the idle handler, I had to check and see if there's any bookmarks with that name. If there is, I have to set the idle event. So I got to declare an auto reset event. I have to declare a variable and an idle handler and set up all my stuff. And anyway, this is so common. I mean, with workflow application, you do this all the time. You want to run until the workflow becomes idle with a certain bookmark name. So in Microsoft Activities extensions, I created this thing, these episode supports, because really when you think about it, it's like an episode. Run until this happens and then stop, okay? So what run episode is going to do in this case, it's going to run until we become idle with bookmark one. And then we're going to, you know, do some more writing, and then we're going to resume on bookmark one with the value one and run until bookmark two. And then we're going to run bookmark 2 with the value 2. You can see right away, this is totally, totally easy. One thing that you'll notice, though, is that when we run this way, we get a timeout if things don't go right. So let's actually run it. Okay. All right, so now you see we have a default timeout of 10 seconds. Now, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Microsoft Activities extensions, because in the episode support, when I said run episode, that means run it and keep going. Keep, if it goes idle, just keep resuming it or whatever until it either completes, aborts, or becomes idle with the bookmark name that we want. And so in this case, it kept running the thing until it gave up after 10 seconds. And we can adjust that timeout if we want. But right away, we've done a good thing by giving us a timeout. So our app doesn't hang anymore. It has a timeout, which is a good thing. All right, now, you can see that, you know, it's just plain old obvious that this code is better because it's simpler, but I want to show you something. So let's go to analyze code metrics, all right? So if we look at the code metrics, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but it's pretty cool. I like looking at code metrics when I'm trying to, you know, evaluate different approaches in a class library. And so here we can see a maintainability index where higher values are better. And so if I look here in the workflow, I have running without extensions is got a value of 44, but running with extensions, let's see, now this one here is the one I want, 47. Running with extensions, it's 55. So it's higher number, that's better, more maintainable. Look at the cyclomatic complexity here. Cyclomatic complexity is the number of branches that go on in this code. And this gets a value of 8 without Microsoft Activities Extensions, 8. Look at with 2. So you can see right away the code's much simpler. The analysis shows it. It's just darn simple and really easy to use. And in fact, if I look here at my new Git packages, you can see there it is, Activities Extensions. If you want to get Activities Extensions, go to the online and just type in Activities. And then, you know, NuGet will search it and find, you know, there they are. There's a unit testing framework and activities extensions. So definitely recommend that you get those. All right, let's go back to our task list. Okay, so we talked about those. And now let's talk about these little dots on the side in this X. What is this? This is a very cool add-on called nCrunch. And let me go and bring up nCrunch here about, so you can go to nCrunch.net and pick it up. It's a free add-in right now. Who knows, later he might charge money for it. I hope he does. It's a great product. I'd pay for it totally because it's totally worth it. What nCrunch is doing is, you know, here we are on these machines. They got all these CPU power and all this stuff, and most of the time our CPUs are sleeping. They're not really doing anything. So what nCrunch does is it's analyzing, as I'm working in Visual Studio, it's running in the background, building the project, running the tests, and if I make some code changes, it analyzes it and, you know, runs a test and lets me know several things. So it lets me know that this line of code is covered by a test that's failing. It lets me know that this line, no tests are covering this line, all right? So that's a thing that warns me, hey, maybe I should write a test that covers that line. And it's telling me here that this little line of code here timed out after 5 seconds. So I set nCrunch to time out after 5 seconds. And so right away I know that something's going wrong right there. This is so amazingly cool. Highly, highly recommend it, nCrunch. All right, so now in this solution I created a debug configuration I call best debug, which illustrates some of the best practices, right? So I'm going to change to using best debug, and I'm going to come over here to nCrunch configuration, and I'm going to set these to use best debug for both. Okay, here. Whoops. Best debug. All right. Okay, so I have to leave these notes here to remind myself what to do. Oh yeah, file tracker. So file tracker is just a simple way if you said, hey, I really like that tracing, but I would like to get it in a text file. Oh, and I didn't even show you the tracing the last time we ran it. Let's go back here to debug. Oh, I almost forgot this. I should have made a note. Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Remember how that other record is big, long thing, it's hard to read? This here tells me the workflow instance named workflow is idle, right? And it tells me the activity that was the last one executing, wait for bookmark, B2, that's the display name, and it gives me the arguments that were passed to that activity. So it's right there, it tells me the bookmark name was B2. So this here is meant for people to read, and it's much easier to read and follow, and you get very nice tracing information. But you know, when you have it here in the output window, it gets mixed with all these stupid, the thread with blah, 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 and all that. So maybe if you just said, look, I just want a file with that information in it, I created File Tracker. File Tracker is very efficient, uses asynchronous file I.O., and you just give it the path to the file you want to do. It's going to override it, okay, it doesn't append, and what we'll do here is I put it into a using block because it has it's disposable, so it will be sure to close it in case of an exception. So I just add that tracker. So in this case, I have a file tracker and a trace tracker both in this. So my first step in debugging is actually not to use the debugger, but to use tracking. So if I run the program, I capture tracking, I know what's going on in the workflow. And that is the most crucial thing. You know that I wrote Microsoft.activities.unit testing. It's a whole test framework. It makes it easy for you to unit test. And so let's come back over here and check out a test. All right, so here's a test. And you can see here in my test, let's close this up. NCrunch is telling me, this is the line of code where everything blew up. All right. So in my test here, I'm doing the same thing that I did in the main program. I'm just using run episode, but I'm using a different class here, this Microsoft or workflow application test, right? Which is a class that wraps up a workflow application. It sets up handlers, it automatically captures all the tracking records, and so then I can do things, I can assert things out of the tracking records and so forth. And down here, I put in host.tracking.trace. So when I run my test, the test runner automatically captures that output. And so if I look here at this is the NCrunch test window, but I could see the same thing in the Visual Studio test window. Bam, look at that. Every time I run a test, I capture what's going on, and I get the tracking right here. So if I get a test failure, it's not like, oh, I better go, you know, turn on this or that or whatever. I've already captured it, so I know what's going on. That is super useful. Okay, so one other thing, these methods with episodes, what they do is they capture everything and return a class. In this case, I'm asserting down here that the type is workflow completed episode result. So that means that I expect that after I resume bookmark 2, this thing is going to complete. In this case, it didn't, and we had a test failure. Now, let's talk about timeouts, okay? Because that is number 3 on my list, using timeouts. I have 4 rules about timeouts, and basically I'm just saying that any time you have one thread waiting on another thread, you should use a timeout. It's really bad just to call wait one with no timeout, because your app will hang. And then secondly, I believe that your classes should have a default timeout that will be used if the caller doesn't supply one. And I'm a big fan of trying to keep the call interface to workflows really simple, so I try to encapsulate all of it in the class. In this case, I used a partial class. It's the same name as the workflow, so it works out really good. The timeout should be consistent across the library, so I found that if I just sprinkle in like a, you know, I call wait one and I put in 1,000 milliseconds or something, pretty soon I have inconsistent timeouts. So I like to define a symbol that I can use for timeouts everywhere, and then I like them to be self-adjusting with the debugger. All right, so let's take a look at the timeouts, how I set the timeouts up. So first of all, I have this class I call global for shared things. And I have it set up with a default timeout. I have a default debug timeout, which isn't hooked up yet, but we're going to do that in a minute. Okay, and then when you want to use the timeout, it's just darn simple. Here's the pattern. You just say wait one, and you pass in the timeout like that. And then if it fails, wait one will return false if it timed out. Then I throw a timeout exception, which is probably the right thing to do, because once there's been a timeout, it's really hard to recover from that. Now, if I'm using Microsoft Activities extensions, it's just real easy. I pass on the timeout here, no problem. Now, here's the cool thing. I found, and you will find this too, if you start debugging and you're using Microsoft Activities Extension and you're stepping through the code and evaluating things, and pretty soon, bam, you get a timeout exception. That happens because one thread was waiting on stuff and the other thread you were debugging on just took too long. So I found that I'm always having to go in and adjust the timeouts when I'm debugging, you know, because you want a much longer timeout to give you time. So, you know, I used to come in and just change the timeout value, but then it hit me, duh, why didn't I just do this? Okay, so let's comment that out. And now I can say, aha, if the debugger is attached, we'll use whatever the debug timeout is. If it's not, we'll use the default timeout. It's a beautiful thing. All right, so let's run without debugging first. Okay, so I'm going to run without debugging. And you can see I got the 1 second timeout, which is probably plenty of time for this workflow. It times out very quickly. Okay, but if I run with debugging, now we get 20 seconds. All right, so you get the goodness of that. That is pretty darn cool. Just to kind of wrap this up, let's set this to B2. Okay, and we're gonna see everything work correctly. If I come in here and run this, we'll see our timeout is 20 seconds, and there we go. Yeah, so I created bookmark B1, B2, we completed, everything is happy, it's good to go. So, there's some tips on debugging with workflow application. I hope that helps you figure out the problems you have. I found that, you know, people write me and say, Ron, my workflow isn't working like I expected. I point them to some of these tips, they can figure it out on their own, and that's really where you want to be. So, best of luck to you for Workflow TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.